Jerry and Leah are in Cambodia, and Jerry will be home on Saturday. Leah is going to stay a little bit longer, which means we have the privilege of having a guest speaker this morning, Reverend David Hearn. David is the president of our denomination, the Christian Missionary Alliance. David's been a pastor, a district superintendent. In fact, when our lead pastor, Jerry Gould, left Lake Country Church in Winfield, B.C., outside of Kelowna, to come here, Dave went and became the pastor of that church and followed Jerry in there. So there's a really deep connection here amongst us. And I've known David a long time, and David has a passion for the church. He has a passion for Jesus, and he has a passion for the Holy Spirit. And I can't think of a better speaker to come and end our series empowered about the Holy Spirit than David Hearn. And he's energetic, and he just the Holy Spirit just oozes through him. So, David, why don't you come and speak to us? And please welcome Dave Hearn.
Come here, Daryl. Thank you. So do I look a little like Jerry Gould? I kind of was getting dressed this morning. What would he wear? A sweater? Pants? Yeah, right? So I know you're kind of missing him. It really is a joy to be with you, and I miss the fact that Jerry and Leah are not here, but the Summit congregation is just a wonderful congregation, and I just want to affirm you, and I want to affirm your leaders this morning, and Daryl and Scott and Amy, others who are leading, let's just show them our appreciation. Way to go, team! And to our, you know, PowerPoint people, and everybody's doing the audio stuff, it's tough in a gymnasium, right? And so, gang back there, we want to show you our appreciation. Way to go! I'm so thankful that in the household of faith, it is not about place, but hallelujah, it's about presence. Amen? And we can actually meet Jesus in a gymnasium. Isn't that great? And so this morning, I want to embrace you, but I also want to invite you. I want to invite you into a deeper walk with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love the backdrop. I feel like I'm preaching in a fireplace. This is really cool. And this morning as I arrived early and I prayed around the facility, God gave me a word for you. And I want to speak it over you as I begin this morning. And simply receive this as a gift of grace from your Father. Summit Community Church, arise and shine. For the fire has come. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. Oh, see the darkness that covers the earth, the thick darkness that covers the people. But the Lord rises on you. And hallelujah, his glory appears above you. And nations will come to your blaze, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Father, you are at work in this place. And as we've already been singing songs that have invited your presence, songs that have spoken of the power of your grace, the majesty of your character, Lord, we come humbly today, but we come with expectant hearts. Lord, we don't want to just have another religious gathering. Oh, spare us from that. Father, what we long for more than anything else is a radical, dynamic encounter with the living God that will transform us. And hallelujah, unleash us to reach the nations in Jesus' name. And so, Father, we know your presence is here. And so, may we recognize all that you want to do in and through us. In these moments, in Jesus' name I pray, amen. I began a ministry over 30 years ago, and I'm a BC kid, but I actually did my first ministry opportunity in a place called Oshawa, Ontario. It was a very conservative church, and we did communion once a month, and we did it exactly the same way. We had a large communion table out front, and the senior pastor would lead the communion, and I was the associate, and so I would assist him. And after communion was over, the senior pastor would lead out, I would follow him, and all of our elders would follow behind me, something like the Keystone Cops. You know, we'd all kind of walk down the center aisle, and then we would meet our people in the foyer. there was a microphone that had a boom over top of the communion table. And as we came to the end of this communion service, it was beautiful. We could sense the presence of God. And as a senior pastor led out, I followed behind him, but my foot actually got caught in the cord that was connected to the microphone. And I tripped and fell forward, and the microphone actually swung around and hit the elder behind me in the throat. There was a loud noise, but that wasn't the worst of it. He actually lost his balance and fell into the next elder, who fell into the next elder, who fell into the next elder, and there by our communion table was a large pile of spiritual leadership. I learned a very valuable lesson that morning, that the steps of a leader have a direct impact on those who follow. Every one of you in this room is a leader. Every one of you has influence. And I want to declare to you something that I believe is at the heart and soul of what God is doing in His church today. Because friends, this is the call of God. We do not need better strategies. We do not need more effective methods. We do not even need bigger dreams today. What we need are men and women who are full of the Holy Spirit and fire. That's what the church is crying out for. That's what our communities are crying out for. I declare to you, Summit Community Church, that without the power of the Holy Spirit, you can accomplish nothing. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, John, talking about Jesus, says that he, Jesus, will ignite the kingdom of God within you, a fire within you, the Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out, penetrating, purifying, consuming, refining, melting, empowering, the fire of the Holy Spirit that transforms His people. Fred Hartley put it this way. He said, God promises to saturate or submerge us in the Holy Spirit and in fire. He wants every area of our lives and every cell of our body dripping with His presence and fully under His influence. Friends, this has been the heart and soul of the Christian Missionary Alliance from its very inception. Seven people gathered in a dusty, dingy dance hall in the middle of New York City. It was a cold November day. And they gathered around a furnace that was pumping out heat. And Simpson, the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, said, we could feel the heat of the power of the Spirit come upon us as we gathered together. He opened the Word of God, and this is what he declared. It is not by might, it is not by power, but hallelujah, it is by the Spirit, thus says the Lord. And in that dusty, dingy dance hall, a dynamic movement of God began. A church was planted in the heart of New York City. But a movement was begun that would span to the uttermost parts of the world. And within 10 short years, over 600 men and women were sent to some of the most difficult places of the world. Places like the Congo, places like Tibet, and many of them never returned to the shores of North America. They actually believed that Christ was Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Hallelujah, Coming King. They were men and women who were willing to give their lives for the cause because they were full of the Holy Spirit and full of fire. Is that still us? I am convinced that there is still fire in the Christian Missionary Alliance. And that the heart and soul of our movement is not just a great desire to reach the nations of the world, but the recognition that without the filling, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit of God, we will never, ever reach the nations of the world. Deeper life and missions always goes together. And so Simpson said it this way. He said, the message of the Christian Missionary Alliance is a message that is steeped in the Holy Spirit, a message that leads men and women to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit without exaggeration, without fanaticism, without unscripturalness of any kind, all that power can be and yet with a sound mind. I say to my girls, if I ever get a tattoo, that'll be the one. You see, friends, the great reality is simply this. That if we try to accomplish mission without the work of the Holy Spirit, we actually end up with humanitarianism. We can do lots of good projects around the world, but nobody's life is dramatically changed. However, if we focus on just the power of the Holy Spirit without mission, we end up with fanaticism. It can get a little crazy. But if we blend the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit with a desire to reach the nations of the world, we get revolution. And if there ever was a time for revolution, friends, it is now. And so the cry of my heart to you this morning is simply this, that Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so I am sending you. And then he took a deep breath and he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. This is what I want for you, Summit. This is my heart's desire for you. You are a visionary church. You've got massive dreams. You've got an incredible opportunity for the kingdom of God to be advanced right here and around the world. But you will never accomplish it in your own strength and by your own power. Today, friends, you need a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Simpson said this. He said, oh, I thought I was full of the Holy Spirit. But he said, I was never overwhelmed by the Spirit. I was never saturated in the Spirit. He said, it's like I had a little bit of the ocean in a bottle, but God actually wanted to put the bottle into the ocean. And I wonder if today is an opportunity for our capacity to grow a little bit. For us just to actually say, God, we want a little more. Could you expand our hearts a little bit more to just be saturated, to be overwhelmed by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit? Because I'm going to be really honest with you that the Alliance that I know has a very rich theology in the Holy Spirit, but we often have an impoverished experience in the Holy Spirit. And my concern is simply this, that because we become so afraid of false fire or our wildfire, that we can actually settle in our churches for no fire and accept it as normal. Now, people say to me, David, when you preach like this, are you not afraid of the excesses in the Christian Missionary Alliance? Summit Community Church, I am not afraid of the excesses. We have the Word of God. We have people of discernment. What I'm terrified of in the Christian Missionary Alliance is death. Because that's really hard to recover from. And so I want to invite you today. I want to invite you into Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. And I want to invite you into the realization that the book of Acts is actually to be normative for the church. It's not just a historical document. It's a wonderful, glorious picture of what the church is to be like. And so my heart cry to you is this. Call it whatever you like. Baptism of the Spirit, filling of the Spirit, higher life, deeper life, victorious life. God is calling you, Summit Community Church, into a fire-filled encounter of Christ-revealing, heart-reviving, sin-defeating, and boldness-producing power. Yes! Boris Pasternak, a great Russian novelist, said this. He said, it is not upheavals or revolutions that clear the way for a better day, but it's someone's soul inspired and set ablaze. In Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, we get to see disciples on fire. We get to see followers of Jesus ablaze with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And so as I invite you into Acts chapter 3, I want to outline for you what I believe are three realities, three things that occur as we are baptized with holy fire in the name of Jesus. First of all, holy fire releases supernatural power. Follow me into Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are going up to the temple. It's 3 in the afternoon. They're going there to pray. And they go through the gate beautiful, and they encounter a man who has been crippled since birth. He's 40 years old. And as they hear him begging for sustenance to actually survive yet another day, Peter looks at him and boldly says, look at us. Now, I don't know about you, but if you're begging, and if your life depends on whether people give something to you, and people walk by and actually ask you to look them in the eye, you're saying, this is going to be a good day for me. This is going to be a big payday for me. He has no idea how good this is going to get. Because Peter looks at him and says, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have, we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be there? That all of a sudden this man, crippled since birth, feels for the first time energy and strength coursing through his ankles and through his legs. And the Word of God says he doesn't just stand to his feet, he jumps to his feet. And he can't stop jumping up and down, praising God. A manifestation of the supernatural power of God has been unleashed in Jesus' name. Friends, the Christian Missionary Alliance is a movement that predominantly believes in the supernatural power of God and in supernatural things. Amen? Amen. So Summit Community Church, do you still believe in supernatural stuff? Do we still believe in a supernatural God? A few weeks ago, I was preaching this message, and I sort of said to the people, I said, oh, wouldn't it be cool if someone was just healed dramatically in the congregation like right now? Little did I know that when I actually said the word walk, a woman who had come in with a crutch, who had been crippled, all of a sudden was instantly healed in that service. And the most amazing thing was she knew she was healed, but she had to go test it out. So while I'm preaching, she goes to the back of the congregation and she begins to walk across the back of the church. And then she starts to run across the back of the church. And then she came and she sat down. And at the end of the service, I gave an altar call. I just said, anyone who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, come forward. And she was the first one forward. And I was kneeling down at the front and she came and knelt beside me. And then she stood up and she left her crutch there at the altar. And so I'm a good, sensitive pastor, and I thought, she forgot her crutch. So I take her crutch and I walk over and I said, I think you forgot this. And she says, exactly. She said, God healed me this morning. And I brought the crutch forward as a sign of my humble adoration for a God who's supernatural and a God who heals. And I remember walking out of the church service and seeing her husband and her walk towards the car. He's got the crutch over his shoulder like this incredible trophy to the grace and healing power of a supernatural God. Friends, I want to see Alliance churches with crutches at the altar every Sunday. Amen? Men and women healed, but not just physically, spiritually. Marriages healed, wayward children coming home. The supernatural manifestation of God at work in his church. It's called holy fire. So I got a call from our Iranian church in British Columbia. And the pastor says to me, David, there's been an outbreak of healing in our church. I knew this was going to be a good conversation. I said, tell me what happened. He said, well, a few weeks ago, our elders were studying James chapter 5 about anointing with oil and praying for healing. And he said, we've never done it in our church. And so one of the elders said, well, how about next Sunday? Can we try it? And one of the other elders said, well, what kind of oil should we use? And another elder said, well, Costco's got good oil. Let's go buy oil from Costco. And so they went to Costco and they purchased 4 liters of cooking oil from Costco. And at the end of that service, the pastor gave a call to come forward. The entire church came forward. And one elder took this 4 liters of cooking oil, dragged it onto the platform, put it down, and they anointed everybody in the congregation, and everybody they anointed was instantly healed in Jesus' name. It was unbelievable. This is incredible. People who had chronic illnesses were delivered instantly. People who had injuries from past accidents were delivered powerfully. People possessed of demons were set free. I mean, one woman who had a skin disease, they watched as God reformatted the skin on her arm into that which was beautiful and pristine. I stood in front of this woman, tears rolling down my face, as she said, God is a supernatural healing God. And so I declare to you, my heart and soul for you, is to simply say this: I know it's not about the healing, that it's about the healer. I know it's about whatever brings glory to God. And I recognize God does not heal in every situation. But friends, I think we give up too soon. We ought to be men and women who believe in the supernatural power of God. And so, true confessions, this makes me a little nervous sometimes. And I was preaching in Ecuador, and I had a group of people, and I was speaking about the power of the Spirit and missions, and I had an incredible interpreter. He was more animated than I was. It must have been wild. And at the end of that time, the Holy Spirit of God had come upon this congregation, and it became a thin place between heaven and earth. And I knew in my mind, all I needed to say was, let them go. And there would have been this wonderful outpouring of God's Spirit. But I panicked. I thought, I can't control this. What if some stuff happens in the room that I don't know what to do with? And so do you know what I did? Oh, I'm so sorry to tell you this. I looked out on this group of people who were so hungry for the presence and power of God, and I said two words that should never be uttered in an Alliance church: you're dismissed. The minute I spoke those words, I felt I grieved the Spirit. And people reluctantly left. They walked out. And I said, oh God, if I get another chance, please, I won't let them go. And fortunately, I had another opportunity to teach just a little later that day. And people began to come into the room, and the room began to fill up, and I could sense the power and the presence of God. And as I spoke, I knew that God was at work. And I remember at the very end, I said, Lord, I'm not going to let them go this time. And so I turned to my interpreter, and I don't know how it got interpreted in Spanish, but I said, turn them loose. And the place erupted in songs of praise and adoration. Tears flowed freely. People began to repent. They began to drop to their knees and sob in repentance. We watched as the power of God descended on this congregation. And I literally leaned against the wall and said, oh, I think I just tasted heaven. A woman came up to me after and said, you need to know, all over Latin America, there are groups of people who are praying for a fresh wind of revival, for a fresh power of the Spirit of God. She said, I think we got a little breeze today. So as I lead the Christian Missionary Alliance, I don't want to ever say we're dismissed anymore. Maybe we ought to just linger longer and come with hearts that are filled with anticipation, hearts that actually believe God wants to encounter his people, even in a gymnasium. Hallelujah. Because it's not about place, it is about presence. And I got to tell you, all across Canada and around the world, I am seeing evidence of holy hunger. People are tired of business as usual in the church because they know that it always just results in usual business. They're longing for a fresh encounter. But if you're going to see the supernatural power of God, then you're going to have holy fire revive your heart. What happens next is absolutely amazing. A crowd begins to gather. And as this crowd gathers, they're marveling that this man that they've known for years and years and years who's been crippled is now jumping and rejoicing and praising God, a supernatural manifestation of God's power. And as they gather in amazement, Peter says, I think this would be a great time to preach. I would love to preach in a moment like that. And so Peter says, fellow Israelites, why are you so surprised? Why are you staring at us if by some means it was our holiness or our power that caused this man to be healed? And then he boldly declares, it is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of your fathers that has glorified his servant Jesus Christ. And then you want to talk about powerful preaching? Now he's in Jerusalem, Jesus has been crucified, he's got a Jewish audience, and this is the main point of his message: you killed the author of life. That's pretty bold preaching. You killed the author of life. But God has raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. And then this powerful moment as Peter says, repent therefore. Turn your hearts to God that he may wipe away your sins and that times of refreshing would come from the Lord. Summit, don't you want some times of refreshing? Isn't that what your heart longs for? But I got to tell you, times of refreshing are always preceded by moments of radical repentance before God. Revival always comes as a result of broken hearts and repentant spirits. I have a good friend who's been a bachelor for years, and he's the messiest housekeeper I know. And he lives in a small apartment, and there are times when he doesn't wash his dishes for over 3 weeks. Can you imagine? And so one day he said, I'm sitting in my apartment, I'm reading a magazine, and all of a sudden an unexpected visitor comes. And they buzzed at the door, and I knew that between the time they came into my apartment building till the time they got to my apartment door, I had 60 seconds to clean my kitchen. He said, I ran into my kitchen, I took all of the dirty dishes off the counter, and I put them inside my oven. And then he said, I wiped the counters clean so that my kitchen looked absolutely pristine. He said, I answered the door, and in came my friends, and they said, we've got a pizza, but it's cold. Where's your oven? He said, the most humiliating moment of my life was opening up my oven and taking out all my dirty dishes in front of my friends. Summit Community Church, what's in your oven? You see, we in the church have become masters of the image. The pristine look. And yet deep within the recesses of our soul are places where there is hideous darkness, where there are hidden sins, where there is messy stuff that needs to be purged and cleaned and renewed in the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, friends, the best oven cleaner I know is the Holy Spirit. So what's in your oven? Between my third and fourth year at Canadian Bible College, they sent me to do something called internship. You got to practice being a pastor. And they sent me to a place called Hardin, Montana, to actually be a solo pastor for 3 months. It was a pilot project. They had never done it before, and they never did it again. I'm trying not to take it personally. And I had a passion, and I wanted to see revival break out. And so I had this group of 30 people, and my vision was this, that I would preach revival messages, that there would be a profound sense of repentance, that the holy fire of God would fall, and that a revival would start in Hardin, Montana. It would sweep to Billings, Montana. It would cover the state of Montana, and accolades would come back to my Bible college. David Hearn single-handedly started a revival in Montana. I had issues, folks. I remember standing up to preach my first message, and I had written 22 pages on the wrath of God. And my desire that morning was to dangle these 30 people over the flames of hell until he repented. That was the big idea. And I remember it was a really hot Sunday morning in Montana. And I stood up in this little pulpit, and there was a large window right beside me. And as I was ready to preach, one of the good old boys said, "Hey, Pastor, it's hot in here. Can we open a window?" And he walked over and he opened up the window that was right beside the podium where I placed 22 pages of notes on the wrath of God. And I wish it would have been a Holy Spirit breeze, but it was just a nasty Montana breeze. Came in and blew my notes all over the congregation. So for the next 10 minutes, we're trying to reassemble my sermon. I got page 7, I got page 9. There were two young people, they took page 21 and 22 and they threw it out the window. It was a gong show. I finally assembled what I could of my message, preached my most anemic sermon that I'd ever preached. I sent everybody home, and I was mad. And I remember going into the little office that was right next to our chapel, and I've never done this before, and I've never done it again. I actually raised my fist to God, and I said, "Where were you this morning?" And God said, "Oh, David, you didn't need me this morning. It was all about you." And the minute the Spirit of God said that, my spirit broke. And I realized that it's the subtle self sins that keep me from experiencing the flow of the Spirit. And I took out a piece of paper, and I'm going to challenge you to think about doing this. And I began to write down all the places of my soul where I'd never surrendered to God, where I'd never, ever said, "God, you can have control of this." And I became the master at compartmentalizing my life. I said, "Oh, Jesus, you can have this, and you can have this, and you can have this. But there's a couple of rooms in my life where I've got a sign up that says, 'Jesus, do not enter.' I can control this better than you. I want to declare this to you, Summit Community Church. Our God is a jealous God, and he will not share his glory with another. He wants all of you. Absolutely all of you." And so I wrote down on this paper every rival kingdom of my soul. And I said, "Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, forgive me." And there was a little styrofoam cup on my desk, and I took that page, and I wrapped it into a little ball, and I stuffed it inside the styrofoam cup. And there was a straw, and I cut it in half, and I taped the sign of a cross over top of this styrofoam cup. And then I wrote on the outside, "Here lies David Hearn. He died today, that Christ might live in him." You see, we love to talk about the baptism of the Spirit. We love to talk about the filling of the Spirit. We love to talk about being empowered for missions. But friends, we will never be empowered for missions unless we are completely surrendered. Oh, completely surrendered. You see, resurrection always comes after death. What needs to die today? That the fullness of the life of Christ may emerge in you. Oh, friends, holy fire releases the supernatural. Holy fire, hallelujah, revives our hearts. But holy fire revitalizes our mission. I will never talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit without talking about mission. Amen? We can't miss this. Because it's as Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. Then he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. They are entwined together. Well, notice what happens in the text as we go into chapter 4. There are three groups of people that are arch enemies: the priests, the Sadducees, and the temple guard. And yet all of a sudden they become best friends because now they have an enemy that's bigger than them. It is someone who's actually preaching that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And so they take Peter and John and they throw them into prison. And the next day they take them out and they have an inquisition with rulers and leaders. And this is the question they ask Peter and John. It's a great question. By what power and in what name did this miracle happen? And notice what happens next in the text. It says, Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a great moment. Peter filled with the Holy Spirit says, rulers and leaders of the people. If we are being called into account for an act of kindness that was shown to a man who was crippled, and we are being asked by what name or in what power this miracle happened, then know this, you and all the people, it is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you killed, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Yes, don't you wish you were there? Is that not a powerful moment? Because a few days earlier, we find these disciples locked behind closed doors for fear of the Jewish leaders. And when they encountered the living and resurrected Christ, they were transformed forever. Oh, please, that's what we long for. That's what we long for. And then Peter, he's on a roll now, and he says, and I want you to know that there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And notice the response of these leaders. It's quite fascinating. These leaders, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and recognized they were ordinary, unschooled men, they were astonished. And they took note that they had been with Jesus. Isn't that what you want people to write about Summit Community Church? They must be hanging out with Jesus. Because let me declare this, when you are baptized, when you are filled, when you are saturated in the Holy Spirit of God, you will always exalt Jesus. Isn't that great? So I always say to people, why are you so afraid of the baptism of the Spirit? It's just going to make you fall more in love with Jesus. It's actually going to make you look more like Jesus in your actions and in your attitudes. And as I travel around Canada to Alliance churches, I want to declare to Alliance churches, that's what we want written about us. Not that we were a good organization. Oh, God, spare us from that. That we were men and women who were known as people who hung out with Jesus. Now, I really feel bad for the religious leaders because it's really tough on them. What are they going to do? The guy who's been healed, he's 40 years old. He won't go away. He's dancing. He's celebrating. He's praising God. And so they literally slap Peter and John on the wrist and say, we command that you no longer speak in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't you love Peter's response? Well, you're going to have to judge whether we obey you or whether we obey God, but we cannot help but speak about the things that we have seen and we have heard. Yes. I go, oh, Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful if Starbucks all over the country would have conversations by godly people who are not talking about sports, who are not talking about politics, but they can't stop talking about Jesus. Wouldn't it be amazing? And we just can't help it. Oh, I'm talking about Jesus again. I'm really sorry. I just can't help it. I want to invite you in to this profound reality that's happening in the Middle East. You see, because Peter and John, as they come back to the praying church, what I love in this moment is a church is under persecution. It is not asking to be removed from the persecution. No, no, no. It says, oh God, could you give us more signs and more wonders that we may preach the word of God with boldness? And then this incredible Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and the place where they were meeting was shaken. Can I tell you, I prayed God would shake you today. I hope that's okay. I'm a little audacious these days. But I just prayed, oh God, shake us. Shake us. And then everyone in that room was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we have often when we think about the filling of the Holy Spirit, we have such a Western mindset. It's so individualized. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Come over here. There's a little room. We'll put you in that little room. Get filled. Do you know what the Eastern mindset is? The whole church gets filled together. Isn't that amazing? Everybody gets filled at once. So I watched this happen in Iraq. Now, I don't know if you know, but we've actually got four churches in Iraq, four Alliance churches. One in Baghdad, one in Erbil, one in Mosul. Friends, Mosul is Nineveh. Jonah is buried in Mosul. In fact, our pastor in our Erbil Alliance church is a Ninevite. Every time I'm with Malath, I want to go, thank you, Jonah. And we have a church in a place called Duhok. You got to understand that in the midst of all you're hearing on the news, that there is a mighty, holy fire of revival that's happening in the Middle East. More Muslims are coming to Christ at this time than in any other time in human history. Because many of them are looking at what ISIS is doing and looking at the ideology of the extreme Islam, and they're saying, we want no part of that. The fastest growing religion in Egypt today is actually atheism. And you say, why atheism? Well, I went to our pastor, Malath, and I said, why atheism? And he said, well, Muslims want to convert to Christianity, but it's too extreme, so they're taking a sabbatical in atheism. I've never heard those words before. But quickly, they are coming to faith. Malath, our pastor in Erbil, on a regular basis, has people who are coming to his office who've had dreams and visions of Jesus. They're actually having conversations with Jesus, and Jesus is giving out addresses and says, come to our church. And Malath is leading them to Jesus. 91 new members in our Erbil church in the last month. 19 baptisms just last week. This is in the midst of a war zone, folks. 19 baptisms, and half of them were Muslim believers who have been converted to Christ. 31 new believers came to Christ the week after. There is a revival that's happening in the Middle East by the power of the Holy Spirit. The holy fire of God is coming. And here's the most amazing thing. There's a completely unreached people group, 650 in northern Iraq, known as the Yazidis. And they were absolutely overrun by ISIS. Their villages were attacked. Their women were raped. Their men were killed. And they fled to a place called Duhok. We have a church in Duhok. Sammy is our pastor in Duhok. And so I was there with Samaritan's Purse, and we were giving out coats, and we were giving out hugs to the Yazidi people. And we couldn't give out Bibles. It was illegal. But hallelujah, we could let them steal our Bibles. It was wonderful. And so here we are. We have a table full of Bibles. We turn our backs and they'd steal them. We go, praise God. Summit Community Church. For the first time in human history, the Yazidis, a completely unreached people group, now have the Word of God and they're reading it for the first time. Hallelujah. Praise the God. Holy fire has come. So I say that to say this. You see, the very strategy that Satan uses to defeat the church becomes the very thing that advances the church in Jesus' name. So what presses hard in your life? What is the difficult space of your soul that you may feel overwhelmed and defeated? Could it be that through the power of the Spirit, God will use that very thing in your life to actually advance the kingdom, to actually bring glory to his name? And so I stood in front of our Erbil congregation. Most of you know that Mosul was overrun by ISIS. Our congregation of 100 people fled for their lives, and they ended up in Erbil. And our Erbil congregation doubled in size overnight. And I got to preach to these dear people. And as I was standing in front of this congregation, overwhelmed by the sense of humility, how do you preach to people in a war zone? I looked out on your family of faith, and I didn't see people who were fearful. I didn't see people who were running in various directions. I saw people who had experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and they were preaching the Word of God with boldness. One of them was a young dentist named Dylan. And Dylan had just come to Christ, 2 months old in the faith. He decided to leave his dentist practice and join the church and help them with all of the displaced people that are now in Iraq. And when his father-in-law, a devout Muslim, heard about this, he went to our church and offered them $200,000 American dollars not to work with his son-in-law. We didn't take the money. But notice what his son-in-law said. This is an actual quote. It's beautiful. He went to his father-in-law and he said, "People have come from all over to join ISIS and are now here destroying and killing and bringing fear. And now Christians are coming from all over the world and they are bringing help, love, and hope. Which religion would you choose? I'm going to be a Christian and I'm going to help them." And so this is your church in Arabelle. Look at their faces. And as I'm preaching there, the place in which we were meeting was shaken. I watched as the filling of the Spirit embraced an entire congregation. And today, in the midst of a war zone, they are proclaiming the word of God with boldness. So how about you, Summit Community Church? How about us? How about a moment like this? Could it be that God wants to shake us, to fill us, like all together? Wouldn't it be wild? So that we would proclaim the word of God boldly in Richmond Hill, boldly in the places where we work, boldly beyond our borders, boldly to the nations of the world who, by the way, live in your neighborhood. This is our moment. So I conclude with this. I was preaching at a conference, and after I got done, a young man about 30 years old came running up to me. I'll never forget the moment. And his eyes were wide open, and he said, "Oh, David," he said, "there's no more fire in my life. There's no more passion in my life." He said, "I feel empty, I feel barren, and I'm just so desperate for a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit." He said, "Would you pray for me?" And at that moment, he was very dramatic, and he dropped to his knees. I'll never forget. He raised his hands in the air, and he began to say over and again, "Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come." And I remember touching the top of his head, and I just prayed, "Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on him." And I could actually sense the palpable presence of God coming over this young man. It was amazing. And then what happened next? You can't predict what's going to happen next. He actually jumped to his feet. He fist pumped the air. He said, "Hallelujah," and he ran away, and I never saw him again. It's like the weirdest moment, you know, until 2 months ago. I was speaking at the same conference, and I came into a large auditorium like this, and that young man saw me from the back of the room, and he ran towards me. I've never seen anything like that. He ran towards me. He dropped to his knees. He never said, "Hi, how are you," or anything. He raised his hands in the air, and he said, "More. More." Jim Elliot, famous missionary statesman, said this. He said, "Am I ignitable?" What a great question. Am I ignitable? "Oh God, deliver me from the dreaded asbestos of other things. Saturate my spirit with the oil of the Spirit, that I may be ablaze." Maybe you're sitting here today, you're simply saying, "Man, the fire's gone." Or if it isn't gone, it's pretty low right now. Christian Evans, a great revivalist, said that revival is God blowing on the embers of a fire that is just about ready to go out so that it comes ablaze. Maybe you're just ready for a new breath of Jesus in your soul. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come join me on the platform. And I'm going to declare, I know we're in a gym, but isn't it cool? I'm going to declare this space, this is safe, okay? This is safe space. And as our worship team comes, I'm going to invite you just to come forward. I'm going to invite you to draw a line in the sand and simply come and say, "Spirit of the living God, fill me." For some of you, it may be for the very first time you've uttered those words, and you might have been a believer for years and you've lived a powerless life. And today you're hungry and you know that you just want to be filled with the Spirit. For others, you may just want to come and drop on your knees and say more. That's really okay. Just more. And so as our worship team plays, come. It's okay. Just more.